Look at somebody and tell them you're God's Valentine. Get your Bible out. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13. Y'all be praying for D.C. D.C. this morning, I got a call at 5 o'clock in the morning, 5:15. Said, meet me at the emergency room. And then she called back. She said, I can't get him out of the floor. He had got a cramp in his leg, and he got to get the cramp out of his leg, and he was leaning up against his table by the bed. Amy went to go to the bathroom, and she came back. She said he just fell out, and he hit his head on the table, and he was out. And they had to call the rescue squad, and they couldn't get him up because he's kind of big. And they sent a woman and a man, and so they couldn't get him up. So they called for backup to pick him up. By the time I got there, they'd got him up and got him to the hospital, and he was. I think the hardest thing I saw going on was after they had him on a backboard and on the neck brace and all that, and they had his tape down, and he's got a beard going on here, and they took that tape and took it off. I tell you what, we found out that he weren't totally unconscious. Yeah, that woke him up. That's like smelling salts. Amen. But he's home now. Y'all be praying for him. He was supposed to be at the thing. Now he's been excited about this. Number one, for that steak, Don's steak. And number two, not only for Don's steak, but he was excited because he was going to be helping with leading in music. And so I don't know what he's going to do right this moment because last time I talked to him, I was sitting there looking at him, talking to him, and the nurse said, who is that beside you? And he said, Pops. And that's all he said. And he went back out and started snoring. They gave him some Valium and some other medicine, but he may have a concussion. I don't know. They did check for signs of brain activity. There is some there. Yeah. So there's definitely some brain activity. Praise God. Although sometimes he don't act like it physically, it's there. So be praying for DC because that was a hard lick. He got two concussions within a couple of months of each other in high school, and that messed him up. He couldn't drive for 6 weeks. And then a couple years later, he was on a motorcycle, got thrown off without a helmet on, and he was in the hospital for a week. And, you know, they got all this stuff about multiple concussions and CTE and all of that. And so I'm not claiming any of that. I just know that his head, although it's very hard, very thick, it still can't handle but so many lickings. It's not a Timex, amen. And so that's remember. That's right. We got faith, we got hope, and we know that God's got this. Amen. Now we're going to talk about, of course, this is Easter. I mean, Easter. I've gone from Halloween to Easter to Valentine's Day. Amen. Well, we're going to have a good time tonight across the street. And it's going to be awesome over there, too. I'm looking forward to steak and chicken. And y'all just pray for D.C. because he wants some steak. He wants chicken. I mean, he wants steak. Amy may want chicken, but he wants steak. I may have to bring it to him afterwards. I don't know. But still, remember him because he's taken, like I said, he can't take too many lickings to that head since he actually heard it a good while back. But you got your Bible. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to talk about love. Why would we talk about love on Valentine's Day? Matter of fact, we're going to talk about it hopefully in a little bit different way because you have to always come up with something. You know, I don't like coming up with the same Valentine's message or the same Christmas message or the same Easter message, something different. We will have something, unless something gets changed. Right now, it looks like we're going to have an awesome Easter service, and we've got somebody coming in from the big town of Mamers, North Carolina. How many know where Mamers is at? That's right. It's near Fuquay. It's between Fuquay and Lillington. And so he may be coming, and it's going to be awesome. If he doesn't, then we got a plan B for the plan A. Amen. But we want to do something, trying to do something, always doing something different. Because again, if you keep doing the same thing all the time at every season, then people get immune and calloused to it. And so we want to keep it fresh. Amen. Let me see here. Look at somebody and tell him God loves you. And tell him God sent you a Valentine today. Now smile real big and say, I'm the delivery guy. And that is, just tell him God's Valentine is he loves you. Amen. There was a young man wrote his sweetheart a love letter. Matter of fact, and I didn't, when I read it, I actually didn't make these names up. So it may be somebody here may have wrote this initially. I'm not sure. But I'll just give you a little, I'll tell you, and y'all can figure out who it may be in here. Remember, I did not change one of the names. Okay. Dear Chrissy, I love you so much I'd climb the highest mountain just to see you smile. I'd swim the deepest river infested with piranhas just for one of your kisses. I'd cross the widest sea for one of your hugs. I'd cross the burning desert just to look upon your face. With never-ending love, Frank. P.S. I didn't make that up. P.S. I'll be over to see you next Wednesday if it doesn't rain. I didn't make that up. That's how it came, and I thought I would just throw it out there. Amen. Amen. That could be my new Valentine, like Christmas is. Frank sent this. Now, so here's our Valentine. Okay. How many know that love really in this day and time has been cheapened? Very much so. Now, we've talked about it. I've told you many, many times. So I'm not going to go into all the types of love. And if I do it all the time, I tell it all the time in here with one way or another. So I'm going to leave that alone today. But what I am going to do is I'm going to, what happened to my, hold on, I must have hit the wrong button. Nobody's ever hit the wrong button in here, have you? I hit the button without any pictures. And Brother Billy said he likes pictures. So, Brother Billy, here's your Valentine. Not only that, but sometimes I'm not too good at reading, but I can see that picture and figure it out. Here we go. Come on. Where did it go? Where did it go? There it is. Let's print. There it is. Here we go. Let's try it this way. Here we go. This has got some stuff in it. All right. Here we go. One of the number one songs in the world was by a foreigner. It was I Want to Know What Love Is. It was so powerful that it's translated in more languages than just about any other song in the world. And it's got such a message, I want to know what love is. Well, I was thinking about it, and I was really, really praying about it. And I said, wait a minute, we need to know, because love has been so cheapened in the day that we live in. We need something that's got some power behind it. Something's got some kick to it. And help kickstart us in this love thing. And so I'm going to talk about where the rubber meets the road. You want to know what love is? We're not going to talk about this cheap thing that the world's got. We're going to talk about honest to goodness love, the kind of love that'll make a man charge a hill, knowing that he's going to die, charge a hill with a mine in his hand to take out a bunker when to protect his three or four guys behind him, knowing that he's going to die. How many have seen Lone Survivor? That's a true story. And you know, one of those guys got the Medal of Honor. The guy that stood up on the mountain and kept calling in coordinates. He called in coordinates, being shot and kept calling in coordinates. I forgot how many times they said he was shot, how many times he was wounded, but he kept calling in coordinates to protect his Navy SEAL team. That's love. That's the kind of love that you don't find on a Hallmark card. It's the kind of love that'll take a cross on a bloody back and then let them nail you to it. And then say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we're going to talk about, I want to know what love is. So get your Bibles out. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Stand for the reading of the word. 1 Corinthians 13. God is awesome all the time. Here it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Back in those days, in the heathen temples, when they were going to worship their God, they would clash the cymbals and they would ring the bells to come into a house where there was an empty God. Nothing was going to happen. Nothing was going to change. But you worshiped that God in hopes that one day something would happen. And he says, if I speak with all this, but I have not charity. Whenever I say charity, I want y'all to say love, because that's what the word is. Charity, agape. When I say charity, I want y'all to come behind me and say love. Verse 2, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and I have not, I am nothing. Whoa, I am nothing. Wow, I've seen people that can actually, you think, wow, they're some of the most spiritual people I've ever seen. But don't double cross them. Don't cross them. Don't even say the wrong thing. Make sure you're not wearing the wrong thing when they see you, because they will wear you out. And though I bestow all my gifts to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not, it profit me nothing. Y'all say nothing. Suffereth long and is kind, envieth not, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, does not have itself unseemly, seek not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things, never faileth. Whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall be vanished away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, y'all say payday's coming, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now though we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, now I know in part, but then I will know even as I'm also known. Now by the faith, hope, and these three, but the greatest of these three is praise. God, praise God, let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace, your mercy. I know, God, you're alive and well and on the throne, Father. And I know, God, that you have everything under control. I ask you right now, Lord, to help us, God, to get a better understanding, a deeper understanding today of what love is. In the name of Jesus, we love you, we praise your name, and we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, we pray in the church. Said, amen. Give somebody a high five. Give them a high five and say you are God's Valentine. Amen. Now you can be seated. Now, it's open season on love. How many knows that? It's open season what the world calls love. There's definitely a disconnect on God's view versus the world's view of love. The world considers love a feeling. Ah, hooked on a feeling. Dun, 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 dun. More than a feeling. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, y'all ain't gonna help me out, are you? Y'all don't want to be a part of that, do you? You're messing up bad enough on your own, you don't need our help. Amen. All right. Well, let me ask you a question. Only a feeling? Love is only a feeling? Now I've got to say that. Now, love has got a feeling to it. Don't get me wrong. There's feelings there. But in this day and time, if that's all you're going by is feelings, there's going to be some hurt feelings in this place today. Amen? Because feelings come and feelings go, but agape stays. Amen? So here we go. You know, on his 50th anniversary, they asked Henry Ford to say his formula for a long marriage. And he said, well, his formula for a long marriage was the same as manufacturing cars. I stick to one model. Amen? Ben Franklin offered his advice. He said, keep your eyes open before marriage and half shut afterwards. Yeah, I like a Danish proverb says, a deaf husband and a blind wife are always a happy couple. One more time, I like that one. A deaf husband and a blind wife are always a happy couple. And perhaps one of the best suggestions was from an 8-year-old named Randy. He said, be a good kisser. It might make your wife forget that you didn't take out the trash. Somebody say, fat chance. All right, so here we go. What happens in a marriage when the feelings just aren't there? What happens when the money's tight, the baby hasn't slept for 3 days, there's 6 months of cancer treatments coming up? What happens? Is the feeling really feeling good at this time? Do you feel, man, oh man, I'm excited. I can't wait to go through those cancer treatments with my wife or my husband. I can't wait to see how low we can go before the money bank just totally collapses. See, and if you're just basing it on a feeling, here's the problem. Because in the world's view of love, it is unpredictable. You don't know if somebody loves you or not because honestly, if it's based on a feeling, I may love you today and not love you tomorrow. I may be ready to really get in there today and could care less tomorrow. So again, it's important. I've got to know. I've got to understand it's more than a feeling. Somebody say more than a feeling. Feelings are unpredictable. The Bible says, what did I just do? Praise God, praise God. I know those feelings are unpredictable. If you squeeze this thing hard enough, it'll go back. So, feelings are unpredictable. You may be feeling good when you got here. It's amazing. I went to a restaurant not long ago in Greenville, and I'm not sure what they were serving, but I walked in, I was happy, I was joking, I was carrying on this place called the Mellow Mushroom. Anybody ever heard of the Mellow Mushroom? I went to the Mellow Mushroom. I thought it was good too. I said, man, this is awesome. And about halfway through the meal, I went, huh? By the time I got through eating, I had stuff I was going to do. I was going to go to the hospital and visit somebody. I was going to go to the nursing home. And by the time I got through eating, I looked over at Linda and said, I'm going home. So I was wrong. I said, I'm getting ready to lose the Mellow Mushroom. Because it ain't much mellow in me right now. It's amazing how the same way with feelings. You can come into a situation, think everything is cool, everything's hunky-dory, and then nothing is right. Something can change your mind, change your opinion, change the way you think. And so it's unpredictable. And because because feelings are unpredictable, they're unreliable. Have you ever been somewhere and you're doing good, you're feeling good, and somebody says the right thing at the wrong time or the wrong thing at the right time? And all of a sudden, you could care less now. Again, feelings are y'all say unpredictable. And they're also unreliable. Amen? So we got to think about that, right? So now, God considers love a whole lot more than just a feeling. It's, matter of fact, if you want to see how God says it, God considers love, again, more than a feeling. God actually considers love a decision backed by the power of God. See, when I tell people it's a decision, people look at me and say, have you lost your mind? I've had couples tell me, have you lost your mind? And I go, no, I haven't lost my mind. It's a decision. perfect love cast out all fear? How can perfect love cast out all fear? Because perfect love is agape love, and agape love is based on a decision. When Jesus was in the garden, he said, God, if there's any other way, let it be. Let this cup pass. Hence, that was the humanity part of Jesus talking. He said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done, saying, watch this, I made a decision. I know it's going to hurt. I know there's going to be pain there, but I've got a decision. I've made that decision. The same way with your children. There's times in your children when they need something and you honestly had rather put that money somewhere else, or you had already decided you were going to buy you something else, and instead you end up going and having to buy this medicine or buy these new shoes or these cleats or whatever, and it's because you made a decision that you're going to take care of them kids. And you even made that decision, you said, no matter the cost. So again, when you tell somebody I'm going to love you no matter what, I can promise you no matter what is going to happen. And when no matter what comes, you better make that decision that you're going to be there. You see, God's love is predictable and God's love is reliable. I know my God loves me. Matter of fact, you know, there's nothing you can do. Nothing. Somebody say nothing. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any less. Or any more. Now, him being pleased with you was another thing. So let's don't go there right now. We want to go stick with the love right now. Well, I don't want to get y'all having hard feelings before we can get going good. God's love. There's nothing you can do to make him love you anymore. Or in that, you don't have to earn God's love, because agape comes along with unmerited favor, grace. So it's predictable. I know that God loves me, and it's reliable. Is going to be there. He says it's going to be there. And he says it in Romans, no matter what. And I'll read it in this message. And no matter what, he will be there. So the greatest description of God, you know, I kept asking somebody, I said, I wish I could know what God looked like. I wish I could know what it looks like. It says he's a spirit and all this, but and remain in his image. But I want to know what God looks like. And finally, one man told me, so I'm going to tell you exactly what God looks like. You remember this, you will always know what God looks like. All right, here's his description. 1 John 4:8. Ready? God is love. Wow. That's the biblical description of God. God is love. So now, if I'm going to be like him, the greatest description of a disciple is that we love. The world will know you're my disciples, not by the way you pray, not by the way you preach, not by the way you use your talent, not by the way you invest your time. The world will know you're my disciple because you the love you have for one another. That love will be the deciding point in a lot of people's lives. You know, 1 John 4:8 said, we said that God is love. 1 John 4:16 says, we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Godly love is a sacrificial love. John 3:16. The Bible tells us that love is the greatest thing. We just read that. It's the evidence of being Christ's disciple. Now, love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love is the first thing the apostle mentioned when he is talking about being a Christian. So let's just talk about God's love, his agape love. Watch this. Here's the cross. I always thought love was shaped like a heart. But it's actually shaped like a cross. Wow. Wow. All the other loves are shaped like a heart. The other three types of love that's in the Bible are shaped like a heart. But agape love is shaped like a cross. Now, watch this about agape love. This is so awesome, and we're getting ready to talk about it quickly. Love acts. It expresses itself. Love never sits still, doing nothing. It is never dormant, complacent, inactive. It always makes itself known. God did not hide his love from us. It is impartial. Every one of us who believes can be saved and knows no limits. God gave His only Son for us. He did not stop short of showing us how much He loved us. Praise God. Give Him a hand. God loves us. Little boy come, the little boy was homeless, he was hungry, he hadn't had a bath in weeks, he hadn't eaten in a few days, maybe even a week, he hadn't slept in a bed in over a month, and he comes and somebody sees him on the street and says, tell me your name, little boy, and he said, my little name is Johnny. He said, well, Johnny, he said, have you eaten lately? He says, no. He said, you got a place to sleep? He said, no. He said, have you got any warm clothes, had a bath? He said, no, sir. He said, you go to this address right here, knock on the door. And when they come to the door, say John 3:16. So he knocks on the door, and the open door said, can we help you? He said, John 3:16. And so he comes in, and he says, have you eaten? He says, no, sir. He says, so the man told him, say John 3:16. So he says, so he comes to John 3:16, and they feed him. And then they go in there and he said, have you had a bath? No, and they let him take a bath. John 3:16, he took a bath. John 3:16, he got clean clothes. John 3:16 got him a bed. And somebody asked him when he lay down in bed, do you know what John 3:16 says? He says, no, but I sure know that it makes a tummy feel good. And I sure know that it makes the body feel clean. And I sure know that it gives me a place to lay my head. I don't know what John 3:16 means, but I know what it does. Wow. God is awesome. Amen? And so again, here we go. I'm not going to keep you long. I said that last week and kept it for 2 hours. No, I didn't. Y'all just thought it was 2 hours. Ready? It's preacher minutes. You know that preacher minutes are like basketball minutes. Do you know in 30 seconds they can score 10 points and have 5 timeouts? Okay, no more timeouts. Here we go. Paul explained 3 characteristics of Christian love, and I'm going to do it real quick, so y'all going to have to hang on. 3 characteristics of Christian love, and this is why it's so important, that show why it's so important in our ministry. How many of all of us are ministers? Okay, so get ready. We're going for a ride. Number 1, the Bible says that love is enriching. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels that have not charity, I'm become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. I want you to just listen carefully, okay? And I'm going on through it fast. I want you to listen. If you're taking notes, please take them quick. Here we go. Paul is pointing out that without love, somebody say without love. See, he talks about 5 spiritual gifts, tongues, prophecy, knowledge, and giving, sacrifice. But without love, the exercise of these gifts is nothing. Tongues apart from love is just a noise, a lot of noise. It is love that enriches and enriches the gift and gives it value. Without it, matter of fact, here's one way to look at it, is ministry without love cheapens both the minister and those who are touched by it. Wow. Think about this now. There's been times I went on Thursday night to the prison, and honestly, I didn't want to be there. I didn't feel good. You know, I'd rather be home. It was cold, rainy. There's times, you know, that I didn't want to be here on a Sunday night. I'd rather been home sleeping because I felt so bad. Or there's times that I go into Walmart and I say, just let me get what I got to get and get home. I've had all I can take today. I've about lost it all. And then somebody stops me at Walmart and I wind up talking to them. And I say, God, please let them be quiet so I can get out of here. And then somebody else comes up and talks to me. And then somebody else. And I'm in there for 1 hour, 2 hours. Or Linda even tells me sometimes when I say I'm going to Walmart, I'm just going to make a quick trip and come out. She goes, you better put a bag over your head then. And then God will speak to me and go, that's not it. Nope, I didn't call you to pick and choose. I called you to love. love and feed my sheep. Wow. You know, it's amazing. Some of those guys I've been ministering to, we've been ministering to. Some of those guys we've ministered to for 6, 7, 8 years. And when we go in, it's cool when I go in sometimes in some of those blocks, I holler, "You're looking good!" And they'll holler back, "I know you can't help it." And they'll see what I'm wearing because I always say, "Anybody tell you you look good in orange?" And whatever I'm wearing, they go, "Anybody tell you you look good in blue? Green?" On Halloween, I wore an orange shirt. They said, "Are you trying to be the great pumpkin?" I said, "No, I'm trying to fit in with y'all. I'm trying to dress like a prisoner." Of course, that one didn't go over good. I didn't get any treats that night. I got all tricks. Amen. I told myself if I tried to dress like a guard, I'd be arrested. I would be with y'all, so I had to do this. All right. But again, ministry without love cheapens both the minister and those who are touched by it. You're just going through the motions. You're just going through it. "Lord, let me get through it so I can get home." But ministry with love enriches the whole church, the whole body, everybody that you're talking to. See, Christians are taught in 1 Thessalonians 4:9 to love one another. And listen carefully. I'm going to go through it quick. God the Father taught us love by sending His Son. God the Son taught us love by giving His life. The Holy Spirit teaches us to love one another by pouring out God's love in our hearts. Love enriches everything that it touches. Wow. That's powerful. So here we go. So first it's enriching. I told you I won't take long. Kinda. You ready? Love is edifying. The Bible says that knowledge puffeth up, but love edifieth, it builds up. The purpose of spiritual gifts is the edification of the church. It's not edification of us. So somebody can say, "Man, listen to him, how eloquent they are." You know, I talked to somebody one time a few years ago, and I thought this person is a very spiritual person. And this person, they're not here, they don't go here, you might not even know them, so don't even try to guess. Because, matter of fact, I know you don't know them. But this person come to me, and I'd pastored them years ago, and God had used them many times in the gift of tongues and giving out messages. And I just asked them, "How are they doing?" And quickly, they stood up and said, "The Lord has just used me to give out some of the most beautiful messages lately." And I said, "Okay, how's everybody else? I'll see you later. Goodbye." It's not about them giving out the message. It's about the Holy Spirit moving in the body of Christ. It blew me away because this person never even talked like that. And all of a sudden this person's talking about, "Look at what I'm doing and how God's using me, blah, 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 blah." And I went, "Huh? Wow." You see, we must not think of ourselves but others. And if we're going to think of ourselves think of others and not ourselves, then this demands love. See, the Corinthians were having a little problem. The Corinthians, they were impatient in public meetings. They were envying each other's gifts. They were puffed up with pride. But you see, but love would remove pride, remove self-vaunting, replace it with a desire to promote others. Matter of fact, you know, God even says, "Be kindly affectionate to one another, brotherly love, preferring one another." This is some heavy stuff. So then he goes ahead and tells us what it is. And I'm going to go through the list. The first thing he says is, love is patience. Less patient. Do you hear me? I was really tired last night, and I didn't mean to pop them over at one time, so we just have them all together. Amen. Love is patient. That word means patient with people, not necessarily patient with circumstances. And people think, because if you're a patient person, slow to anger. That's what it means to be slow to anger, too. Matter of fact, here's one of the words. It means literally a man who's been wronged and has the power to avenge himself, but he will not. Abraham Lincoln. How many remember Abraham Lincoln? They still teach about him in most schools. He had this. Remember, patience is not a sign of weakness, but a sign of strength. No one treated Abraham Lincoln more contempt than this man named Stanton. Stanton was running against him for president. He called him a low, cunning clown. He nicknamed him the original gorilla. I mean, you think Donald Trump likes to call people names? The original gorilla. Lincoln said nothing. When Lincoln went into office and the Civil War is going on, he made Stanton his war minister because he was the best man for the job. People said, the man called you the original gorilla. He called you a low, cunning clown, and you're going to put him in the Department of Defense as the Minister of War? He said he's the best man for the job. Wow. And on the night when that assassin's bullet murdered Lincoln in the theater, in that little room in which the president's body was taken, stood by Abraham Lincoln was Stanton. And looking down on him, when he saw Lincoln's silent face, he said through tears, there lies the greatest ruler of men that the world has ever seen. Wow. Wow. So again, patience is a love that has a long fuse. It's slow to boil. It counts down before it blasts off. 10, 9. Ah! Yeah, I got you, didn't I? Yeah. You know, on one snowy morning at 5 a.m., a missionary candidate rang the bell of the missionary's examiner's home. Ushered into the office, he sat for 3 hours past his appointment time waiting for his interview. At 8 a.m., a retired missionary appeared and began his questioning. All right, spell Baker. B-A-K-E-R. Fine. Now, do you know anything about numbers? The examiner continued. Yes, sir. Something. Please add 2 plus 2. 4, replied the candidate. That's fine, said the examiner. I believe you've passed. I'll tell the board tomorrow. Tomorrow? At the board meeting, the examiner reported on the interview. He said he has all the qualifications for a fine missionary. First, I tested him on self-denial, make him arrive at my home at 5 in the morning. He left a warm bed on a snowy morning without any complaint. Secondly, I tested him on promptness. He arrived on time. Third, I examined him on patience. I made him wait 3 hours to see me. Fourth, I tested him on temper. He failed to show any anger or aggression. Fifth, I tried his humility by asking questions that a 7-year-old child could answer. He showed no indignation. You see, I believe this candidate meets the requirements to make you a fine missionary. Wow. So love is kind. Not only is love kind, let's go back there again. I keep hitting that button, praise God. That just shows somebody's got to have some patience with me today. All right. It's kind. That word kind means to be sweet to all. Do you know who started the Spanish Inquisition? A man named Philip II of Spain. He was thought to be one of the most godly kings there had been. But he found some people that did not think like him. And so he started the Spanish Inquisition, and thousands of people died because they didn't think like he did. Wow. Love is kind. Love knows no envy. There's two kinds of envy. One covets the possession of others. The other one is worse. He grudges that others should have what he has not. Amen. Then, not boastful, true love with its own unworthiness than its own merit. Not proud, the really great man never thinks of his own importance. Not rude, graciousness, which never forgets to be courteous and polite. Not self-seeking, there are those in this world who are always thinking of what life owes them. And there are those who never forget what they owe to life. So, love is edifying. Amen. Now, here's something else about love in the edification. Love always protects. It's possible that this may mean that love can cover anything, meaning it will never drag in the light of day the faults and mistakes of others. Love would rather mend things than publicly display them. An old farmer was walking through his barn one night, and one of his hands was walking out of the barn and had a lantern in his hand. He was all dressed up and had a lantern in his hand. And he asked and said, "Where are you going, son?" He says, "I'm going courting." He says, "Well, why are you bringing a lantern?" He says, "It's dark. I always bring a lantern when it's dark." He said, "Son, when I was your age and I went courting, I never brought a light with me." He said, "Yeah, and see what you got." Amen. Trust. This characteristic has a twofold meaning. In relation to God, it means the love takes God at His word. In relation to our fellow man, it means that we always believe the best about other people. Have you ever seen somebody who gives certain people the benefit of the doubt and other people they don't give them any benefit of anything? Let me just say this. If you only have a couple of people in your circle that you always get the benefit of the doubt and the rest of them you don't give them a chance to even talk before you've already got them lined up, pinned against the wall, ready to shoot them, you may need to re-examine your agape. Now, if somebody keeps on messing up, I know, watch them. That's just discernment. But if you just only got a handful that you trust the rest of them, you won't give them time of day, you better step back because something isn't right. It hopes, which means to expect or to know that God has everything under control and you can rest in His promise. And also, persevere. Persevere, not the spirit which can passively bear things, but the spirit which bears things and it conquers them. And that leads to the next point. And I'm almost through. I told you I wasn't going to keep you long today. Some of y'all were saying, I bet He will. I see it right now. Matter of fact, I'm going to give y'all a Valentine present. I'm going to let you out here before 12. Watch that. Y'all didn't say anything, so I reckon. Okay. Okay. All right. None of that, but love is enduring. The Bible tells us that prophecy, knowledge, and tongues are going to one day cease. They're not permanent gifts. Now, is He saying that it's going to end with the apostles? That's not what He meant. What He meant is, He says there's going to come a day when the reward comes. When you get to heaven, you're not going to need these things. You see, faith, hope, and love prepare and propel the gifts here on earth. But you got to think about something. These gifts are necessary to prepare us for heaven. God uses this to get us ready in a position that we can always be used by God. God can use us. But one day there we'll be in heaven and we'll have no need of this because we won't have, nobody's got to prophesy to us because we're going to know we're going to be right there. Nobody's going to have to give us knowledge because the knowledge is going to be there. Tongues, all this. We're not going to need it when we get to heaven because that stuff God used, gifts that God used through His Spirit to help us get to where we're going to be at. But this is what's going to be cool now. The Bible says there are abide of faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Our faith and our hope shall be sight, but love will be experienced for eternity. Love carries us to and through and over. I made one of the biggest mistakes in my life about a person years ago. I had two grandmamas. I had my mama's mama and I had my daddy's mama. My mama's mama was a city girl. My daddy's mama was a country girl, farmer. My daddy's mama, she was into sewing and cooking and trying to be the feminine stuff. My other grandmama, she was always so busy taking care of stuff, feeding everybody and all those kids and all that farm work. And she was just always working. And I never got a chance to get to know my daddy's mama. Something I will regret the rest of my life. I never got a chance to really know her. And so at the time when I was smaller, I was scared of her and loved my other grandma. Couldn't wait to get around my other grandma. Get around this woman, and because she didn't act like I thought grandmama should act, I didn't really pull her to me because she weren't the kind of person that would pull you to her. And then my grandmama that was on my mama's mama, when she died, this grandmama actually stepped up to the plate. She saw it, and she even changed a little bit and started pulling me in. And I didn't realize it until then, just how much love that woman had. In fact, she had so much love in her, it astounded me. The problem was because she didn't act the way I thought she should act. Is there anybody in your life that this brings into your mind? Because she didn't act the way I thought she should act, I really never really gave her a chance. But after my other grandmama died, and I was left with just this one grandmama, next thing I know, I find myself clinging to her. And God taught me a very valuable lesson. I was judging by feelings with my other grandmama. Matter of fact, when I was pushing one aside and holding the other, it's because I was going by feelings. Then when this grandmama's gone and those feelings are gone, and now I see true agape. And you know what I found out? The one that I really didn't care a whole lot for wound up doing more for me and was there more for me and was there where the rubber met the road and I could depend on her. And all this time, I could have had that with her, but I was going by a feeling versus agape. Matter of fact, there's some of y'all in here right now, there's some people in your life, if you can get past the feeling part and go to the agape, your relationship will change overnight. It did with my grandmama, and when she died, it really, really hurt. Matter of fact, I couldn't believe it, but when she died, I think it hurt me more than it did when my other grandmama died. Not because she was my last grandmama, but you know what? She wound up being a whole lot better than I thought. This story kind of reminds me of that, thinking about what you're thinking about. This is a true story told by a nurse. It was a busy morning, approximately 8:30 a.m., when an elderly gentleman in his 80s arrived to have stitches removed from his thumb. He stated that he was in a hurry as he had an appointment at 9 a.m. I took his vital signs and I had him take a seat, knowing it would be over an hour before someone would be able to see him. I saw him looking at his watch, and I decided since I was not busy with another patient, I would evaluate his wound. On examining him, I saw that it was well healed, so I got the needed supplies to remove his sutures and redress his wound. While taking care of his wound, we began to engage in conversation, and I asked him if he had another doctor's appointment that morning as he was in such a hurry. The gentleman told me no, that he needed to go to the nursing home to eat breakfast with his wife. Then I inquired as to her health, and he told me that she had been there for a while and that she was a victim of Alzheimer's disease. As we talked, I asked if she would be upset if he was a bit late. He replied that she no longer knew who he was, that she had not recognized him in 5 years now. I was surprised and I asked him, and you still go every morning even though she doesn't know who you are? He smiled as he patted my hand and said, she doesn't know who I am, but I still know who she is. That's agape. That's the way God does us. Once I learned this, my whole life changed. She said, I had to hold back tears as he left. I had goosebumps on my arm and thought, that's the kind of love I want in my life. Now, quickly, because I told you I was going to get you out here before 12. Some of y'all were looking at your watch saying, you got 20 minutes. I want you to notice all the things that do not have the ability to keep the love of Christ from us. Romans 8, I told you I was going to read this to you at the end. For I am convinced neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I want you to watch now. This is fired up stuff right here. You ready? The love of Christ is more powerful than life itself, and death cannot keep it from us. Spiritual beings, even the most diabolic plot from hell, cannot keep Christ's love from us. Time itself, when time comes to an end, the love of Christ will remain. The greatest power on earth cannot keep it from us. The deepest depths or the highest heights cannot keep it from us. All creation, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Fellas, come on up here. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Two men, both guilty. Two men, guilty of the same crime. Two men, sentenced and condemned. Two men could have had the same outcome. Judas and Simon. Both of them had denied Christ. Both of them had sold him out. And the Bible tells us very clearly that Judas repented himself. Judas could not believe what he had done. He felt sorry within, but he could not take it to Christ. And because he could not take it to Christ, he went and ran the other direction. And again, could not stand what he did, could not stand his actions, and so he hung himself. Simon sold Jesus out, denied he knew him, but the difference is, when he denied Jesus those three times and he looked at Jesus and Jesus looked him in the eye and the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly, godly sorrow worketh repentance. He didn't just feel sorry within him. He cried out to God. And so, we see one goes out and hangs himself. The other one just goes out and in sadness and sorrow, can't believe what he's done. When Jesus rises from the dead, he tells Mary, go tell the apostles and Peter that I've risen. I believe that if Judas hadn't hung himself, if Judas had repented with that godly sorrow versus his own sorrow, you'd have heard him say, go tell the disciples and Peter and Judas that I've risen. It's amazing that Paul wrote this. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. He ought to know because of how bad he was, how much harm he had caused, how much sorrow, how many homes he had broken up, how many families he had destroyed, how many people he had killed. But I believe if Simon had a chance, he could write the same thing. Nothing can separate us because I denied him three times. I didn't just deny him. I cried out, if I know him, let God kill me. That's what cursing means. It doesn't mean he laid out a North Carolina cussing on him. It said he cursed, meaning if I know him, let God kill me. You can't get much more in denial than that. And then he went out and wept before the Lord. And when Jesus arose, the very first person after Mary that he went and talked to was Simon. He found out nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Honestly, I believe there's some people in here right now that you honestly feel like you've gone too far, not far enough, you've done too much, you haven't done enough, one or the other, and you're thinking, how can God use me? How can God forgive me? How can this and how can this happen after what I've done or what I've not done? Remember, you cannot do anything to make him love you more. You can't do anything to make him love you less. I love my children. I have compassion on my children. There's times where I like to take a board to them. But when the rubber meets the road and they call Dad and say, Dad, I'm in trouble. Dad, I got a problem. Dad, I need help. Dad's still there. Can you imagine God with agape? All you got to do is say, God, I didn't do enough, or I did too much, or God, I shouldn't have this, or what, I should have, could have, would have. But if you take it to God, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. And just like that old man, my wife doesn't know who I am, but I still know who she is. We are children of an almighty, ever-living, ever-loving God. I was in Pitt Detention Center Thursday, and there's this one man that was locked up, been in there for over a year, hadn't even had his trial yet, hadn't even thought about a trial yet, from another state. He was aggravated and so mad and angry at God, and God began to work with him. And as he began to heal, he's locked in an 8x8 room for 23 hours a day. As he began to heal, when he had his hour out, he would start talking to guys and telling them how he was angry with God and how God worked on him and how God helped him. And now, we bring him materials. Also, he sends awful materials. And every night when he has his hour out, he stands in front of all the guys and he gives them a Bible study. Just this week, when I go to see him, God put another man in there with him. He has no decision who gets put in his room with him. The man in the room with him was a minister. Minister didn't tell me what he had done. He just said, I messed up. I gave in and messed up. He said, but I'm so glad God put me here with this man. And we had a little revival. And now there's two of them. And instead of telling me how bad he's got, every time I see him, he tells me, let me tell you what God's showing me now. Let me tell you what God's doing now. Let me show you. Let me tell you. Let me show you. Let me tell you. Let me show you. But he had to get past the part where nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. Once he got to that part, then God started using him and has used him for over a year in D Block. Some of you in here right now need to get past it and understand that God loves you no matter what. And God wants to use you no matter what. He's just waiting for you to get in that position where you can accept His love and accept His forgiveness and move forward. Let's all stand. Every head bowed, I got a feeling I just need to do it this way. Everybody here, bow your head. Nobody looking around. If God's speaking to you today, if God's trying to penetrate you with His love, trying to get you to get beyond your faults, your problems, your failures, and to love Him as He loves you, and to step forward and be used, and you're thinking that it was just too late, too bad, too wrong, whatever, and you see God's trying to talk to you this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed, would you raise that hand and say, I need to let God use me again. I need to accept His unconditional love. Bless them, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Bless them right now in the name of Jesus. Maybe you're here this morning, just like Peter, just like Judas, in some way, fashion, or form, you've denied Him. And Satan wants you to do like he did with Judas and let you just feel sorry inside and hurt yourself or hurt something else or never be used again by God. But he wants you to be like Simon and come to God, and God will come to you, and something special will happen today. Maybe there's somebody in your life that you haven't given them a chance, just like I did with my grandma, and I've always regretted it. When I get to heaven, I've already asked God to let me see her, one of the first people I see, let me see her and tell her just how much she meant to me. And I didn't even know it because I wouldn't give her a chance because she didn't do it my way. With every head bowed, every eye closed, you need God to help you in those areas. Would you just put that hand up? Nobody's going to pick you out. I just want you to do it so I can pray with you. Touch them, Lord. Touch them, Lord. Touch them right now, God. Bless them. Let them see. Let them know. Let them understand that you've got something special for them, something you want to do through them. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch and anoint, Father, in a special way, and we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Now, all that will come to the altar, all that will come to the altar, all that will come to the altar, let's pray. It's not even 12 o'clock yet. You got plenty of time. Father, I love you. I praise your name. God is love. God is love. God is love. Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, God, that it's not in my strength that I've got to stand. It's not in my love that I have to connect with you, Lord. It's in your love. And I thank you for it, God. It's in your love. And I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for it, Lord. There's more that want to pray. Come on. It's okay. God, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you.
1 Timothy chapter 4 today for me, especially to be key to myself.
Thank you, Father. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory, 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 glory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for something special happening right now, Lord. God, a miracle's taking place, and we can't even. Don't forget tonight. What time is the eating? All right. Eating meat tonight. If you've already put in your order, they've already bought the steaks and stuff. So the anybody else that is already cut off, right? So, at 6 o'clock we're gonna sing an old happy day. Oh, happy day, he cooked steak my way. When Jesus washed, sing it. When Jesus washed, when Jesus washed, he washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. He taught me how. Y'all got to help me sing or I'm going to blow it. To wash. Okay. He cooked steak my way. Six o'clock tonight, we're having steak and chicken over in the fellowship hall. It's a sweetheart banquet. It's going to be good. Expect, we already got a good, how many, 55, 57? 57? There's a sign. 57 sauce, steak, 57 people. Now if we had 33 extra. God's awesome. If you feed them, they will come. That's right. Brother Brandon, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?